I'm still going to preach. For a moment there, I thought the choir forgot about me. They just kind of took over, didn't they? Amen. Now listen, if you got to be somewhere at 1 o'clock, I can't help you. Amen. I'm not going to be in no hurry. You're late for appointment. By the time you think I ought to be through, just put your little finger up. And I don't know what that means, but just walk on out the church. Amen. I'm holding no one prisoner this morning. I have a message from the Lord. We invite you to Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter. You would do well to read it in its entirety, especially beginning at the 15th verse. But for the sake of our text, we want to begin reading the 16th chapter at verse 27, where you will find these words. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou dost would send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Our message is entitled, Don't Go to Hell. Don't go to hell. Perhaps no one ever told you, don't go to hell. But this is not a statement, it is not a request, it is not a suggestion, it is a plea. I implore you, please, don't go to hell. If there is a sinful gravitational pull that's pulling you there, resist it by having faith in Christ. But please, whatever you do, don't go to hell. Hell is a real place. And I realize that some of you, perhaps, who are educated and have assented intellectually to higher standards of living, who have reinvented God, would say that there is no hell. Some of you would say, well, the God that I know, who is good and who is faithful and gracious, would never send me to hell. But let me tell you something. God does not want to send you to hell. You're sending yourself to hell. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, I can say emphatically by the word of God that God does not want anyone to go to hell. Hell was prepared for the angels that rebelled against God and the fallen angels. It says in the scriptures that it says in Matthew 5:41, then shall ye say also those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every man won't repent. Every woman won't repent. There are some that's so close to their sin until they can't see their sin.
Right.
Don't you know sometimes when you're carrying a body odor, you can't smell you? But everybody else can. Your sin stinks in the nostrils of God. And perhaps you cannot see your way clearly as God sees you as a sinner in need of repentance. Your church membership will not give you a home in heaven. You'd be surprised how many people in here are already programmed and pre-qualified to go to hell. Talking to a friend of mine I ran into, and she told me that I was asking how things were going at the church. She said, well, you know, we got a new pastor. We got rid of our old pastor. I said, you got rid of him? Yeah, he kept telling us we was going to hell. But we love our new pastor. I said, what is he saying? Oh, he still tells us we're going to hell too. But he says it out of love and compassion. So let me say this out of compassion and love. Some of y'all are going to hell this morning. But please tell your children, tell your parents, tell everybody you know, your neighbors, even your enemies, don't go to hell. Hell is a real place. Preachers didn't make it up. It's all through the Bible. Jesus mentions it 15 times. My problem with you is that some of you sing like you own your way to heaven. You pray like you own your way to heaven. You dress like you own your way to heaven. You talk like you own your way to heaven. But some of you are so mean, so moody, so selfish, angry, hard to please, materialistic, jealous, arrogant, rude, living above your means, can't pay your bills, you're needy and you're greedy, talking about I'm on my way to heaven. I don't believe you. Does the Holy Spirit reside in you? I think you're headed for hell. But please, don't go to hell. I don't understand how some people are so mean. When you receive Christ, you ought to be a little sweeter, a little nicer. You ought to have a little more control of your finances. And the only I know how to do that is start tithing. Some of y'all too mean to tithe. Too stingy to tithe. You're like a sponge. You want to sop up everything that God has. And then you're talking about, I ain't blessed. Oh, yes, you are. If you woke up this morning. If nobody rolled you down the aisle to get you in your seat, you're already blessed. But you complain about, there's some of y'all, I'm scared to ask you how you doing. There's some of y'all, I'm afraid to how you doing. Oh, Lord, I got to hear the whole thing. My left foot hurt, my ankle hurt, my neck hurt, and the dog died. Amen. We have some most complaining Christians in the world right here talking about I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know. You could be headed for hell, but don't go. Every fiber in you, don't go to hell. Hell is the most despicable, horrific, miserable place that anyone could ever go. I was reading Dante's legendary Inferno. Dante was a 13th century Italian poet, and he tells of the tragedies, the torments, and the tortures of hell. He paints vivid pictures and scenes of odors and hideous actions and horrors in hell. No one wants to go to hell, but people are going every day. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Jesus tells us elsewhere in Scripture in Matthew 10:28, he says, don't fear what man can do you, but fear him.
Yes.
Talking about God, who's able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell.
Yes.
There is a reverent fear that all Christians ought to have toward God.
Amen.
Fear will not turn everybody. If fear does not turn to fact, and fact turn to faith. So we have here a story in our Bible that is not a parable. Jesus never uses proper names when he tells stories, and he never used proper names in parables, but this is not a parable. This is a story that only Jesus had privy information about. And he tells us something about the character of two men. Now, everything is predicated upon the verse that above this. As a matter of fact, verse 15 of the 16th chapter, he's talking to the Pharisees who were covetous, and they heard these things, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves.
Yeah. All right.
Before me. But God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Who are you trying to please? Those around you or God? Are you going along with what society says, or are you standing up for what God says? Who are you trying to impress? Those around you or God? And I'm coming to tell you that some folk are just hard to impress, but God is easy to impress when he sees you walking by faith and trusting him. He tells a story of two men. One is rich and one is very poor. But he does not want you to infer that all rich people go to hell and all poor people go to heaven, because that's not what the story is about. He simply tells the story of these two men who had two different levels of intellect, perhaps, or they were one was impoverished and one was rich.
Yeah.
It does not talk about their sins or their faith. Jesus just paints the picture. There's two men. He does not name the certain rich man, but let's call him Mr. Big Stuff. Mr. Big Stuff was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day, meaning he ate good. Feathered under glass. Caviar. Mr. Big Stuff was living large. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of souls. Now somebody had to come and carry Lazarus and lay him at the gate. Now, the whole purpose that we could use our imagination to see was hoping that Mr. Big Stuff, when he rolled by in his chariot, would have some compassion and pity on Lazarus and perhaps give him a crumb or two that fell from his tail. That's what it says. He was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, it says in verse 21, the dogs came and licked his sores. Well, the pictures and portraits of the dogs coming to lick his sores to give him some type of relief. Perhaps the tongue of the dog was the only relief, that only medicine that could be prescribed for all these sores on this poor, wretched man named Lazarus. There seemed to have been some dismal purpose or medicinal property in the dog licking his wounds, but it shows that the dog had more compassion than Mr. Bixter. I heard a preacher say that. It ain't in the Bible, but it sounds good. He said that Mr. Bigstuff had the dog, and he told the dog, "Sick him! Sick him!" And the dog was running out to Lazarus, and God changed and whispered in the dog ear in dog language and changed the command from "sick him" to "lick him," and he licked him. I don't know how true that is, but it sounds good, don't it? It'll preach. We know nothing about the sins of Mr. Bixter. We know nothing about the faith of Lazarus. But the Bible says in verse 22, "And it came to pass." And I love that every time I find that in the Bible, it came to pass. I don't care what situation you might be in, I love it when it came to pass. Mean that what I was going through, I don't have to go through no more because it came to pass. There's a time in all of our lives it will come to pass, because whether you realize it or not, life is just a temporary assignment and you're not going to stay here. Except Jesus comes to rapture us away, all of us will leave here, all of us will die. But where you go when you die, that's up to you now. There's only two places. I know there's some that talk about purgatory, but purgatory was something that they made up a long time ago. There's only two places that you can go, heaven or hell. Well, yes, sir. The non-smoking and the smoking sections. Amen. That's all you can do. That's the only place. That's the only place. There's no halfway house between. Ain't nobody going to pray you out of nothing, because when you dead, you dead. You gone. All he wanted was a crumb. But it came to pass. The beggar died. And the Bible says he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Then it says the rich man also died and was buried. One was taken by the undertaker, the other by the uppertaker. Lest you be misled, heaven was not where he went. Lazarus went to the lower parts of the earth. Beneath the grave, there is the place called Hades, what I'll talk to about a little later. Abraham's bosom, a place of paradise, is where the angels escorted Lazarus. But now, Mr. Bigstuff had a funeral. Allow me, if you will, to paint the picture for your mind, amen, and kind of modernize the funeral. Oh, we need not go way back there, for they did things a little different, but I know how they do things now. So let's just pretend Mr. Bigstuff just died a week ago. You know they have to have the funeral on Saturday, don't you? Flowers, every sort and design, from all of the businesses and business acquaintances that had associated, filled the church where he rarely attended. But he's already in hell. Professional mourners were hired to weep and to wail, dignitaries from social elite and those who were the who's who in politics filed singly into the church asking to be on program. But he's already in hell. There he lies with the open casket, just from head to toe. He's purple. His purple shoes match his purple tie and his purple suit. Laid out, but he's already in hell. His hands are folded in front of him to show off his jewelry and his diamond ring. Looking good, Mr. Big Stuff, but he's already in hell. His coffin is one of a kind.
Yes.
It was specially made out of teak wood and lined with silk with golden, solid gold handles.
Yes, right.
A heavenly scene of angels playing harps is on the headliner of the coffin lid.
Yes.
A spectacular sight.
Yes.
But he's already in hell. A resolution from the city council is being read.
Yeah.
This day will go down in history as a memorial to one of our most prominent citizens.
Yeah.
Resolutions from his lodge and fraternity are being read as well, but he's already in hell. His five brothers are there, for they have each written a poem to him, like he can read it. Amen. On the printed program, telling him how they loved him and looked up to him. A collage of pictures are filling the program, showing him with his cigar, showing him with all of his wealth, showing him with celebrities that he had met along the way. But he's already in hell. His nephews filed in. All of them got on purple shirts with R.I.P. Rest in peace, Uncle, on the T-shirt. You're already in hell. All of the restaurant owners have come where he dined to show up and pay their respects to him. They would miss his big appetite, his vast knowledge of cuisine, and the wine list that he most generously tipped them for. They would miss him. But some of them just wanted to see him dead. But he was already in hell. Each preacher that got up, that spoke, tried to outdo the one who got up before him. With charming praise, they waxed eloquently to the amazement of the crowd. Everyone spoke well of the rich man, assuring the family that he's in a better place. But he's
already
in hell. They talked about how he accepted the Lord at an early age. Big old lie. He's
already
in hell. The presiding bishop, not wanting to break the trend of speech that had been established by the waxing eloquent preachers, he gets up and the only thing he can talk about Mr. Big Stuff was how fashionable he was. Now he must have been adored because the church is packed all the way out to the streets. And now the undertaker is leaving out of the church with the family. The choir is singing, "I'm going up yonder." But he's
already
in hell. The undertaker escorts the family, the well-wishers, and all those nearby to the cemetery where the family mausoleum has been prepared to receive the rich man's body. But he's
already
in hell. The rich man is buried. But Lazarus is carried. Carried and escorted by an angelic convoy, escorted his soul to the bosom of Abraham. So what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Everybody does not go to heaven that dies. But I'm not concerned about everybody. I'm concerned about you. And again, I implore you, I beg you, don't go to hell. If there's something you're doing that you need to stop doing, stop doing it. Repent, turn around. Embrace the word of God and Jesus Christ and let the blood cover you. I don't care how far you've gone. I know I was in the vestibule of hell. I could smell the smoke, but God saved me. Turn around.
Thank you, sir.
Don't trust than some half-hearted confession you made when you was a kid. Some superficial testimony, but now that you're more intelligent, you don't believe that stuff no more.
Hell
is real.
Yeah.
You better know that you know where you're going.
Yeah.
A lot of religious people going to hell. A whole lot of preachers going to bust hell wide open. Don't you let your children, your parents, your husband, your wife, your uncle, your aunt, your cousin, your grandparents, don't you let even your enemies go to hell. Don't never tell anybody to go there. That's the worst thing you could ever tell somebody. Just tell them, don't go to hell. You see, that's a problem. There's been a lot of facts that people have gotten wrong because we have so many intelligent people now. Amen. And they use hell in the adjectival form, and they said, and they give you the idea that hell is on earth. Ain't no hell on earth.
All right.
They said, man, war is hell. No, it ain't. War is not hell, because somebody can always throw up a white flag.
Don't you see?
They can always retreat.
Uh-huh.
They can always offer peace.
Amen.
They say crime is hell. No, it ain't.
Right.
Murder is not hell. Rape is not hell. Incest is not hell. All these things can be resolved by faith in God. They say prison is hell. No, it ain't.
Right.
There's some people in prison living better than you.
Yeah.
Getting a college education, making computer programs, amen. Weightlifting every day, playing basketball, and eating three good meals every day, amen. I heard on the news the other day that some idiot set a mattress on fire while he was in prison trying to kill everybody and kill a whole bunch of people. And I said, my God, they're already in prison. Now some of them are in hell on fire?
All right.
There's no rehabilitation in hell.
No, sir.
Just continuous torment day and night.
Yes, sir.
There's no showers in hell. No soap in hell. So you know it's got to be funky. Look, ain't no beauty shop in hell. Ain't no makeup in hell. And your weave will not make it in hell. I want you to know that right now. No telephone, no TV, no recreation, no food, no water, no visitors, no hope, no help, no God in hell. Don't go to hell. Then I hear folks talking about, I'm going through hell. You ain't going through hell. Hell has no exit. You can say, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, but you ain't going through hell. Because once you get in, you cannot get out. I hear folks saying, I'm catching hell. Now, you can catch a cold, you can catch a fish, but you can't catch hell. But hell can catch you. And here's something that I want you to ponder over. I think almost everybody in here knows somebody already in hell. Guess what? Mr. Big Stuff still there. It's been thousands of years. He's still there. And hell is not as far away as you think it. Don't you slip on no banana peel. Don't you slip on the soap in the shower. Don't you bust your head. Hell might be closer than you think. Could be one heartbeat away. Some of us have been already close to hell and know what it's like to be that close, but thank God you've turned around. Well, you might say, well, how do I go to hell since God doesn't want anybody to go to hell? What do I have to do to go to hell? I'm glad you asked me. Nothing. Let me tell you again, you ain't got to do nothing. Just keep on believing what you believe now. Amen. If you don't believe that God is real, you don't believe hell is real, keep on believing that.
All
right. You think it's something that we preachers just made up, keep on believing that. See, you don't have to do nothing.
All right.
There is no entrance exam to get into hell. You need no invitation. You need not make reservations. And hell ain't never full. As a matter of fact, I read in Isaiah 5:14 that hell has enlarged itself to accommodate you. I know some of you don't like registration. Well, there ain't no registration in hell. You pre-qualify. Amen. No application to fill out. No educational requirements. You are already qualified. There's no discrimination. Hell wants you. They don't care if you fat, skinny, black, white, accidental, occidental, Asian. They don't care. Hell will take you just as you are.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, you don't have to believe nothing. You can believe some of the Bible, parts of the Bible, all the Bible, but you still qualify for hell. You can follow the public opinion of everything and end up in hell. You can have no opinion of your own and still end up in hell. Here's another thing. You don't have to know nobody in hell to get you in. You ain't got to stand at the gate there. Hey, hook a brother up. You ain't got to do that to get in. You already hooked up for hell, amen. All you got to do is just be yourself. Your church membership won't save you. Bible study, Sunday school, prayer meeting, even giving tithes and offerings will save you. You must believe in Jesus Christ to escape the burning fire. Okay. You don't have to believe. You don't even have to think. You don't have to know nothing or nobody to get into hell. Hell, you're automatically programmed for hell. This is your future resident unless you do something for your soul. Repent and turn around and ask Jesus to come into your life. Don't go to hell. Let me give you a little hellology. I know we've run past time, but you need a little hellology, because there's been some things that's said about hell that folk don't know and folk don't believe it. And some of these lying preachers been up here, that preachers been talking about how Jesus went down to hell and got the devil in a headlock and wrestled the devil and snatched the keys from the devil. Devil ain't never had the keys to hell. I don't know where they got that stuff from. It ain't in my Bible. Now, Hebrews 2nd chapter, verse 14, it says that by dying, Christ broke the power of the devil who had the power of death.
Yeah.
Now, Satan had the power of death, but he didn't have the power to inflict death.
Yeah.
If that had been the case, he'd have killed Job. But God said, listen, you can touch his body, but you can't kill his body.
Yeah.
God has put restrictions on the devil. If the devil could kill us now, if he had the power of death, he certainly would kill me for preaching this sermon. Then I heard some people say, but the devil, he came to steal, to kill, and destroy. That ain't what the Bible says. I don't know what church you've been going to, but that ain't what my Bible says. It says in John 10:10, it says the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus wasn't talking about the devil. As a matter of fact, verse 8 tells who we're talking about. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. What Jesus says about the devil is that he is a liar and the father of lies, and he's a deceiver. He don't have a right to kill nobody. Read Revelation 1:18. It says that Jesus has the key to death and hell. We got to get y'all straight. Hell's mentioned 54 times in the King James Bible. The Hebrew word for hell is Sheol. And it talks of the grave. It talks of that lower region, that subterranean region, and beneath the earth. There's the grave, and then there's this place in the New Testament. In the Greek, it's called Hades.
Yeah.
Now, understand that Hades is a real place.
Yeah.
It's in the lower parts of the earth. And you'll hear many times how Jesus descended, and then he ascended.
Yes.
He first descended. Now, when it talks about that, it talks about there is a place in Hades where there is a paradise on one side and hell fire on the other side.
Well,
the whole place is called, in the Hebrew, Sheol, and in the Greek it's called Hades.
Yeah.
Now, there is a gulf, a fish in between, a chasm in between paradise and between hell fire. Now, when the Bible says that when Mr. Big Stuff died, he went over there where he was being tormented in the fire.
Yeah.
And Lazarus went over to paradise, which is called Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
Now, they could see each other, but one could not go over to the other.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when you read the Bible, you'll find out at the bottom of the great gulf is a door, a pit, and the bottom of that is the abyss.
Yeah.
The bottomless pit.
Yeah.
Amen. The prison for the angels that were fallen called Tartaru. Amen. Now, you need to understand that the Bible has many things to say about hell. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks more about hell than it talks about heaven. All I'm trying to tell you is just don't go. The Bible says that death and hell will give up, and they will be both cast into the lake of fire. That's the everlasting fire where Satan will one day be. I want you to know something. The devil ain't even in hell. Because a lot of times he get in the choir. Amen. I know that. I told you, I come up to church, and the devil's sitting out there on that little green bench out there, and he was just crying. He was just crying. And I said, what's the matter? He said, you got some lying folk in there. Talking about, I didn't come to prayer meeting because I was sick. They wasn't sick. They was at the bowling alley, Pastor. They were just telling all of you. He just telling on you. He was crying so hard, I gave my handkerchief. I said, wipe your eyes and get on back in the choir where you belong, boy. Every time I sit in the choir, I don't like it. They don't say nothing when I'm singing. I don't care. Y'all ain't singing no more today. Amen. We already took the offering. Amen. This is my time now. Amen. Like I said, get mad, pick up the drink, walk on out the door. I don't care. Amen. I know all y'all was coming know how. Amen. Ephesians 4:9 says that Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. That's why the scripture says, I will not leave my soul in hell. It wasn't talking about the hell fire. It was talking about Hades, where paradise is.
Yeah.
He led captivity captive.
Yeah.
He went down there. That's why he told the thief on the cross, this day you'll be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
But Jesus moved paradise up to the third heaven. That's why Paul writes. He says, in 2 Corinthians 12:4, he said, I went up to the third heaven, where there are some things I saw and some words that are not lawful for me to talk about. He said the third place was paradise, which means paradise is no longer in the lower parts of the earth. Hell is still there, but paradise moved because Jesus moved it. And it's just too deep for y'all. It's just too heavy. The state of the wicked. The state of Mr. Big Stuff. Look at it. He's in hell. Tormented. And he sees across the way. Across this gulf. He sees, that's that beggar. Lazarus. And that's Father Abraham. And Mr. Big Stuff still thinks he got some juice. He still thinks he
he got some swag. Really, because now he said, hey, Father Abraham, send him over here to dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue. You ain't got no swag in hell. Fool, you in hell. But Abraham was really nice. I love the fact. He said, son, don't you remember in your lifetime you had all the wonderful things and nice things and he had nothing? Now that tells me that the wicked can remember.
All right.
They're conscious. They can remember. But notice that there is no remorse. He does not ask God to give him deliverance. He doesn't ask Abraham for deliverance. He just said, I just want to be relieved. I'm afraid that a lot of y'all came here this morning for that same thing. You don't want to be delivered by the blood of Jesus and have your life in order. You just want to be relieved from some of the pressures that you got, some of the bills that you have to pay, from that old dirty boss on the job. You don't want to be delivered and live holy for God. You just want an aspirin. You want a pill that's going to give you some comfort and take the pain away. But you need to be washed by the blood of Jesus. I just wish this pain go away. No, I want the pain to go away. I want deliverance to come in my life. I need to live for God. For God I'll live, and for God I'll die. How dare you come in here thinking you're going to get an aspirin? Don't you know they call me the cast oil preacher? I got some medicine for you. Cast oil don't taste good, but it sure work you. I'm trying to work y'all. Amen. I want you to be free on the inside. Amen. Tastes good. I know mom used to give us castor oil. She said, here, eat this orange. The orange tastes like castor oil. She put sugar in the teaspoon. It still tastes like castor. It's just nasty. But it'll work you. That's all I got is some nasty word for you that'll work you. Amen. He just wanted relief. He did. But he got a lot of nerve. Yeah. He in hell. Yeah. Being tormented in the flame. Yeah. Abraham said he ain't coming over there. Yeah. And you ain't coming over here. Yeah. He's being comforted now. And besides, there's this gulf fixed so that nobody can pass from one side to the other. So he said, then I pray thee, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. He still got a lot of nerve.
Yes,
send Lazarus to my father. Lazarus ain't going nowhere. And you ain't either. He said, I got five brothers. Warn them that they don't come to this place. In other words, tell them, don't go to hell. Tell my five brothers, don't go to hell. Abraham says, they got the word of God. They got Moses and the prophets. All they do is need to hear them. And but he comes back and he said to Abraham, he said, no. He said, but if one went from the dead,
come on, sir.
They believe.
All right.
But Abraham said, if they ain't believe in the word of God, they won't believe though one came back from the dead. Brothers and sisters, all we need is this word. This word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path.
all we need is His word.
Yes.
The word that tells us that we can be born again. Yes. That we can experience God living in us. That the Holy Spirit will be everything we need.
Yes.
In this rough road to life, the Holy Spirit will be a shock absorber.
Yes.
He will be your prayer partner. Yes. He will help you when you don't know what to pray for.
Yes.
We got everything we need.
Yes.
We never need to go outside of the Word of God, for God's Word is a comfort to us. It's medicine for our life. It's every prescription we need is right here in God's Word. But oh, we got more than that. I know somebody who came back from the dead. Oh, yes, I do. And if you don't know him, you just need to know him. His name is Jesus. They took him one Friday and nailed his hand to a cross. Put a crown of thorns on his head. They speared him in the side. He hung between two thieves. He hung between his father in heaven and his mother on earth. That same Jesus died on the cross for my sin and your sin. They took him down from the cross, put him in a bottle tomb. He stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. But good God Almighty, early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave. He came back from the dead. He sits at the right hand side of God right now, making an intercession for me and for you. I know somebody that came back from the dead. Tell us to get right.
Yes. Yes.
So don't. Whatever you do, don't go to hell.
Yes.
Don't be afraid, because fear won't keep you. But love will.
Yes.
You see, if punishment could turn men around, then we wouldn't need the gospel. You see, it would be better then to punish than to preach. But I know through the preaching of God's word, men and women, children will be saved. You see, punishment hardens criminals. Faith releases people from their bondage. Just trust Jesus. But if there's something pulling you toward hell, resist it by faith. Don't you let nobody or nothing send you to hell. Because hell is waiting on you. You already got a reservation. You already got the hookup. You already pre-qualified. Hell is waiting on you, but don't go to hell. The door of the church is open. Stand to your feet.